Hello and welcome to the Socially Intoxicated Awareness Podcast. We're your hosts Toby and Scott, and we're back.
You sounded lonely there. I was expecting me to cut you off at the intro.
You were expecting you to cut me off?
You were expecting me is what it sounded like.
Kind of, but I mean, that's fine. I feel like this is the first time in a while that we've introduced ourselves as hosts when we start this.
Fair. If people randomly started watching the first one that they've ever watched of our podcast and hit shuffle and it just happens to be this episode in the third season, then yeah. Maybe it was worthwhile. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, introduction over.
Yeah. Man, how's it going? Last time we spoke was after the Australian Grand Prix when you were still in Prague.
When I was still in Prague. Well, about 10 hours after we spoke, I started having symptoms.
Yep.
So 10 hours post-recording, COVID made its way into my life, and it hasn't been the same since. I've been quarantined up a little bit the last few days, and 2 days of, or 3 days of absolute hell, followed by the rest was A-okay. And I'm slowly getting better. Easter was sadly now spent in my apartment and not with family. And it's looking good though. So I hope to be able to come back to work maybe next week if I'm lucky, otherwise the week after. As I was exhibiting some small signs of lack of concentration, and we'll kind of see how it goes from there. So I'm a little curious how it continues, and but that's been the main highlight of my week. Apart from that, there hasn't been much going on. I've restrung both of my guitars like 3 times because I've just been bored and tried to practice it. and I've watched, I think, everything of the Marvel Phase 4 universe, or essentially that chapter, so everything post Avengers Endgame that I was still missing, all the TV shows and everything. So it was a good time to catch up on that stuff, to be honest. That's been my week, essentially.
Yeah, fair enough, man. I remember when you told me, we just tested positive. I was like, okay, how'd you feel? You started talking about it, and I really recognized a lot of the symptoms from when I had it a few months back. And it's not fun, you know, it really isn't. And considering that we're both young in pretty good health and triple vaccinated, I was a bit surprised that it would hit me as badly as it had. But it did, you know, and I think you ended up being a bit worse than I was. But I remember that for me, it was really, really unpleasant. And luckily, I haven't had like a huge mental side of COVID to me. Like I, you know, no neurological kind of symptoms. So loss of taste and smell never occurred for me. I didn't have issues concentrating beyond just being, you know, a bit feverish. But it sounds really tough, especially with you kind of locked in now just after a holiday.
Well, what's funny is we actually did a COVID test, my girlfriend and I, the night before we flew back. On Wednesday early morning from Prague, and we were both exhibiting symptoms and had like fever and everything, and we tested it, it was negative. So we're like, okay, we can still sort of consciously travel safely. And then we arrived back, first thing we did, went to the test center here, and positive. So maybe it took that amount of time, but we were very happy to be able to fly back. The other issue was, it was really worrying because we would have conversations and we'd both lose track of our conversations. We'd both forget what we were talking about, which was even weirder when it's two people at the same time. So that was worrying. We never had an issue with tasting or smelling or any of the senses. So I'm pretty much feel back to normal now. I wonder how it'll affect my condition in terms of like the walking down a flight of stairs or doing small little chores around the house. I assume I'll be fine, but it's always an interesting point to see. But so much for COVID. It's getting better and it'll be gone soon. But in terms of the symptoms, I think I have all of them. Like literally all of them. I mean, from back pain to sneezing to neck pain to limb pain to throat pain to all kinds of pain, just fever, like
Did you have
frosty
gastrointestinal
feeling.
symptoms? I remember when COVID
Gastrointestinal, you'd have to explain before I say yes or no.
stomach and poop.
No, not well. I would say a bit more gassy than usual, but not really anything like diarrhea type stuff. So I don't know if that counts as a yes or a no.
I don't think it counts as much of an answer, to be completely
I
honest.
farted more.
Yeah, there you go. No, I
That's it.
remember when COVID first started, that was kind of like the first wave of, oh, okay, this is a bit different than what we thought it was going to be. And then I've been hearing less and less about it, but I'm not informed enough to say if that's variant dependent or what that is about. But I remember back in April or so, 2020. Yeah, somewhere there, April, May 2020. I had just gone when the first real lockdown started. I was alone for like a month. And I'd gone to meet people in the park for the first time since COVID started. And afterwards, like a few days after, I was like, okay, I've got a bit of a stomach ache. And I was like, oh fuck, do I have COVID? Is that where it's happening now? So that's what I was
Where
thinking of there.
hit any point of the body at any time,
Yeah.
just isolated incidents around the body. No, the other thing I did actually when I was then feeling a little bit more alive and not like I was, traveling to the underworld, which is partially how it felt. Like, I don't know, 4 or 5 nights in a row, I just didn't sleep more than 3 or 4 hours because you just couldn't sleep. It was just so exhausting to, I don't know, it was weird. But I finally managed to go through all my record collection and completely reorganize them all and actually enter them into a digital list. So there's this platform called Discogs. And basically, it's a platform to sell or buy from independent sellers. So it's often a great way to support your local record shop and not the big. It's basically an Amazon for independents and not for, monopolizing Amazon. So it's been very nice to also kind of enter all my record collection into a digital list, and that was a fun little chore, which took up a surprising amount of time. So I was happy I had that time. Yeah, so I'm very productive with what I've been doing the last few days. I would have much rather been outside enjoying the nice weather because finally we are back summertime. I mean, it seems to be very nice. Fun fact for this weekend. It was warmer here in Bonn and in most of, UK or like Netherlands isn't far off from where we are. But Aachen, Bonn, Cologne, that kind of area. Warmer here than in on the famous island of Mallorca or Ibiza or Tenerife, where people go for, summer type vibes. We had better weather called the Easter heat wave.
Yeah, I was enjoying it today. I went to Hasselt with a few friends, and we went to see the Japanese gardens because it's a cherry blossom blossoming time, I guess. And that was really pretty. And yeah, enjoying the heat like you couldn't outside.
Like I couldn't.
Got a little
We had a
tan.
balcony, so I sat on the balcony for like 10 minutes, but
True.
that got boring too quick. Like,
Yeah, it's just a
yeah,
balcony.
cherry blossoms, aren't they like twice, like 2 weeks a year or so? It's like a really short time frame from what I recall, because there's that famous street in Bonn as well in the Old Town area.
Yeah.
And like there's 2 weeks a year where everybody posts something on Instagram.
Yeah.
Seeing in that street, like, oh my God, I have the most unique picture ever. Interesting how that happens. Fun fact though, in Tokyo they have in the rich areas vicinity called the Roppongi Hills, they have those trees the whole year round, Partially, there are some that grow longer, but they have a bunch of them that are artificial and completely lit up, and they go throughout the city. And it's a really nice addition to, especially in the winter, to like showcase the light, and it just makes it more special.
Yeah, it's really, they're beautiful trees. I do think, based on what you're saying, maybe, yeah, I could see them, especially in Japan, maybe be used as a status symbol, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, I
But then
don't
I
want to interpret too much into the culture that I don't know enough about
True.
to say that, but it could be. I could also see any Western, like
Yeah,
Germany, or
exactly.
London, I could see anybody using it as a status kind of thing, which
Yeah.
is why people post it on
I mean,
Instagram.
to be fair, that the fact that cities have Japanese gardens, which can't be cheap to maintain, is already a thing. But
Exactly.
then there are also like diplomatic signs. I was reading in the brochure of this garden that it's a sign of 150 years of maintained diplomatic relations between Belgium and Japan, which is kind of nice. And they had some
The fact that they
fat
have the
koi in there.
flowers?
The fact that the garden is there and being maintained and so on.
Okay. Yeah, the koi that go along with those gardens are awesome. There's some cool places in Japan as well that some pretty special fish. Pretty
We were
special
what
fish.
we were watching this one koi. So we had whole storylines about these kois. So one of them looked real derpy and then just kind of kept swimming. So there was a little waterfall that went down, and that koi kept trying to swim up and close to the waterfall, but wasn't really understanding what was going on, and it couldn't go there. And then it got kind of pushed back and hit another koi, and then it seemed to be a bit like concussed because then it like started swimming towards the stone and just kind of bonked into the stone and went, oh, and then just kind of swam in position for a second and then just kind of limply moved in a different direction. There's this other koi who had a bit of moss growing from his forehead that looked like he had a mohawk, which was really great. That was the coolest koi we've ever seen. I was like, that koi is going to turn into a dragon one day. And then there was this
For
one koi,
sure.
which we called the Silent Hunter, which was just in like one location because all these koi were trying, they were trying to eat food. It was just kind of swimming in position in one location next to a big rock. Didn't move at all. I'm like, well, what's he doing? What's he doing? What's he waiting for? And at some point, I don't know what, something falls onto the water surface. The koi goes vroom, and eats it and resumes the exact same position. And that fucking koi was a waiting predator. Koi's
Sniper. Sniper.
Yeah. We didn't have terribly much to do in the garden, so we kind of made up stories about koi. Had some good food though.
I was waiting for you to go, oh, it turns out the koi was dead.
Oh no.
That's what I was waiting for. But him waiting to eat something is also a good idea. Interesting.
Yeah, that
Interesting.
was really
Okay,
fun.
Japanese gardens. That sounds
Japanese
fun. What
gardens were
else
fun.
did you?
We went to a bar. I forgot what it was called. We called it Jour de Boule. And it was an indoor. Do you know the game Boule? Like the
Yeah.
one where you throw a little wooden ball, and then you have to throw metal balls and get as close as possible. It was an indoor Boule bar. So they had like a bar in a kitchen area, and then you walked down some stairs, and it was just filled with Boule fields. We played Boule indoor in like a hipster bar for an hour, which was really
Interesting.
fun. I'll look up what
Young
the place is
people
called.
like bull as well.
Well, I was surprised too.
I thought it was an old person's game. That was at least my end.
I also didn't know that it was a thing that you play inside here. It was called Apéro Boule. Apéro Boules, sorry. Yeah, they had pretty good food, to be honest. And it was fun. They were super nice. They had really good beer on tap. They had Kvak on tap and
Ooh.
Leffen, all sorts of fancy Belgian stuff. But yeah,
Interesting.
to me it was a bit weird to A, play Boule, and B, played inside. But we had a good time. I lost. I was
Yeah.
playing with my friend Tyson. I lost. And then we played 3 rounds of Chaos Pool, which was essentially just no rules. And we tag teamed. And that was pretty fun. So you had to throw the ball within 3 seconds of picking it up. You could We did one where we threw all our balls at the same time, so like three per person. And
Oh,
then
you should do
whoever
that
won.
in bowling
Also, all
alleys.
the balls looked pretty much the same, so we
Yeah.
didn't know who won.
Yeah, that's what's weird. If you get the child version of Boule, they'll each have like different colors, each pairing of like the balls, right? You'll get two green ones, two yellow ones, two orange ones, two red ones. But if you get to the grown-up pros one, they're all silver.
Yeah.
We don't need color.
Yeah.
It's a very German game, and that's a lot of fun allowed. Speaking of Quackbier, though, I know another bar now that sells it, and it's called the Dutch Pub.
Oh, the Dutch Pub.
Prague. Yeah, yeah. Very interesting bar. We one day just wanted to check out something new, and the Dutch Pub came up. And it was basically another British bar, but Dutch, but British. But everything apart from the name basically was British about the bar. But the beers, there were some Dutch beers and some, you know, kind of the area, the way it was run. But if you looked on the walls and everything, all you saw was like Premier League jerseys and anything that kind of reminds you of an English pub. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's ever in Prague, check out the Dutch Pub. The prices are okay. They have B52s and Baby Guinness, which is very, very fun to drink. The only difference between those two is that the B52s have absinthe on top.
Oh.
And absinthe is very typical for Prague, actually. Absinthe was, I don't know if it's initially created in the Czech Republic, but it pretends like it is, at the very least. If you walk through Prague, you'll see all these apothecaries that just sell absinthe.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the B52 is like a three-layered shot because the way the alcohol doesn't mix with each other, it's you see it clearly on top of each other, mm-hmm. which is really neat. So it's Kahlua, Bailey's, and absinthe, and tastes pretty good. Tastes pretty good. So very good recommendation. Sorry, coming back to Prague, and they also have Quack beer in the original glass, meaning it doesn't stand on its own without the help of this wooden frame that you have to set it in.
Mm-hmm. I do like those. We did get those in the pool bar.
Which, yeah, that's the only reason you drink Quack, really. You would never get it bottled.
Like, it's a nice beer. It's a genuinely nice beer.
It's not bad, but what makes it is the weird glass with the cool frame that you. How many glasses do you know that can't stand on their own accord?
So that's... I've always wondered about the Quack glasses, right? Because they come in the wooden frame, and the wooden frame has like an almost handle-like thing. Are you meant to pick it up by the wooden frame, or are you meant to take the glass out?
I feel like then I would have been doing it wrong this whole time. Also, it would take a lot of fun away from it, because it does happen quite a lot that you'll like take just the glass, take a sip, and then forget to set it back into the tray. And just the last second when it's about to tip over, do you realize, oh shit, I have to put it back. So I would hope not. I don't know.
I think we need more like that. We need more gimmicks.
Yeah, we should think of one.
I bet in 2 years, once we have more gimmicks, we'll come out and go like, oh, you know what? I feel like we too many gimmicks. This.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to hold a beer by the handle again. Yeah. What about a glass, like a bottled beer that has an actual like handle?
Oh, that'd be fun. Extremely like expensive to produce. And I don't know how it would be handled really with big. Funds.
Yeah, yeah. But that doesn't matter. If you just sell them to a bar, be good fun.
Yeah.
That's or you can break the handle off before or after. I don't know. Or it's like magnetically attachable. There's ways to get it done. And prices don't matter when experiences are great.
Did you learn that from Steve Jobs?
No, that was the first thing they taught me in business school.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. Marketing 101.
For real?
Oh, man.
That'd be pretty fun.
Not at all. Okay. There's something about the five P's. People, price, product, and I forgot the other two.
Piss.
Piss is probably one of them.
Yeah.
And presumption is the other one.
Presumption.
It's probably not. It probably isn't. Don't it's like, believe that.
It's like the four F's in psychology.
Fuck.
So,
to quote the genius here, Carmen.
Fighting, fleeing, feeding, and fornicating. Fighting, fleeing, feeding, fornicating.
That's all of psychology. Or is that biology?
No, that's evolutionary psychology.
Ah, okay.
And it's a pretty basic concept, or like a pretty basic, like, motivating.
Well, we don't do much
hero.
Else, do we?
No, I feel like probably a lot of what we do can be summarized by four things.
Working.
Well, I mean, I feel like working falls under feeding, probably to some degree. But then again, these like four basics
or fighting
aren't complex enough to summarize like human existence to this point.
Fair.
I'd say you can probably have an endless argument about that, but.
Well, how about we don't do that argument and more talk.
What do you
want
to argue about?
I'd rather argue about the various, as I've now watched hours and hours and hours of Marvel stuff, we can finally talk about it. I know we texted a little bit, but it'd be nice to kind of go through a couple of the shows and how they're tied into each other.
I mean, you go ahead, man. I've been watching these shows as they come out. So for me, this is a year old information.
Yeah, but you've had to save it. We haven't been able to talk about it yet.
Yeah, but I've forgotten more than I've watched. But go ahead. I'll throw in, because you probably have more fresh theories. So go ahead. Say what you want to say.
Well, I don't have any theories at all. Plus, I didn't watch them in the right order. So I first watched Loki. Then I watched Hawkeye. But those two I had watched months ago already. And then with my now thing, I watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then I watched WandaVision. So I'm pretty sure WandaVision was the first one. And then came Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then came Loki. And then came Hawkeye, I think. If I'm not mistaken. I don't know. Either way, I thought WandaVision was really boring for the first two episodes. And I like the idea, the concept, the way they made the movie or the show was interesting to film it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think in the second episode, you kind of start to notice something's wrong or this may not be all to it. But the fact that they did three of those episodes felt like too much to me personally. And then from the moment where you kind of realize that it's not taking place in a 60s TV show and this isn't it, it's cool. Then it's really, really cool. And there's so much from it, because I felt like the term Scarlet Witch had dropped before and not in that series and like earlier. And I always thought I had just associated that with her from the beginning. Oh yeah, she's a Scarlet Witch. That's obvious. Maybe that was a rumor beforehand or a theory. But what that series basically made clear is that there's witches now. And that didn't exist beforehand, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big fucking deal, because like one of the scenes was fucking in Salem where they're like witch hunting and trying to destroy a witch, and I'm like, what's, I mean, I know we have Doctor Strange who's a sorcerer and stuff, right? So maybe, but this is a whole nother level. Now you have some evil ass witch, and I'm starting to think this is part of like Wicked. And yeah, I also thought the show was a little bit taken from the Truman Show. There was a lot taken from the Truman Show, it seemed like, at least at the beginning. My first thought was like, man, they took a lot. They keep. So overall, I'm happy with how the series progressed. Towards the end, I was very, very pleased with what they did. And I can understand the 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is really, really high. And I like the implications it set, because it basically showed us why Scarlet, what's her real name? I keep forgetting.
Wanda
Maximoff is so powerful. She was able to destroy Vision. She was able to basically destroy Thanos had it not been for other things happening. But on one-on-one, she's way more powerful than he is. And that's impressive. And I remember we walked out of the movies then, and it was like, man, she is powerful. Like, holy cow, they just set a huge precedent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited from that series to go to Doctor Strange, because the outfit of the Scarlet Witch appeared in Doctor Strange.
In the trailer,
in the trailer, yeah, for the new one. So I'm not sure if that means there's going to be two of them, perchance, because there's also multiple Doctor Stranges in the new one. That movie is going to be crazy.
Or is there?
Or is there? Or is it just one crazy motherfucker? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Sorry, that's like all of my thoughts at once. That was my first general reaction to it. I love the epic witch battle at the end, though. Not gonna lie.
And yeah, but it was kind of cut short, though. I thought the Vision fight was much better, right? Because the witch fight was just like, hey, let's throw like energy blasts at each other, and then, you know, Wanda outsmarts Agatha, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and it's like the only thing that Agatha Witch taught her was the ruins thing, and all of a sudden she knows how to make ruins. And runes. In that fight, she then just does it without all of us knowing, and that's the plot twist. And I thought that's kind of odd, because I'd like to know how to do that, and if she could, you know, do that, and like, what's her learning process here? And it was the 9th episode, so I felt like, oh, you could have made a 10, you know, one more to like really explore these concepts. But I guess by the nature of what the Scarlet Witch is, it's, what was the quote? Scarlet Witch is one that has to be forged and cannot be willfully created. So I don't know, maybe it all of a sudden it just goes click. But that kind of seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like there could have been more depth to that.
Maybe. I don't know how it was for WandaVision. I remember that for What If, they were planning on making 10 episodes, and then they only had time and or budget for 9. So maybe it was something similar for WandaVision. It's been a while since I've looked into it. So maybe I just missed it back then, or forgot about it, or it never happened. But maybe that's an interesting thought, you know? How much are we truly seeing of what the original Vision, no pun intended, encompassed, versus how much was cut and how much was taken out due to scheduling reasons. You know, like, I remember about No Way Home, there was a thing that they originally wanted to have Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man come into contact with a symbiote again, and then they're like, well, we don't have time for it, we don't have, the scheduling doesn't work out for it, and they just cut it, you know? And how much are we truly seeing versus how much the Vision of the people producing the show really wanted? It's an interesting question in general about movie making, right? It's maybe something we should ask Howard about, like, the general, how much gets cut between a vision and an execution.
Yeah. I mean, a lot probably, because the vision changes. That's kind of what, and it readapts. So like No Way Home initially was a completely different movie before both other Spider-Men signed up to do it. And they rewrote it all. So I thought that was kind of interesting. In terms of another outcome of the WandaVision series, there was Monica. She is basically the main protagonist that is outside of that Wanda created world. Leave it at that. And she enters that bubble a couple times. I'm going to call it a bubble now. For people that don't know yet, go watch it. It's really good. Disney Plus has it, has all of them. And the last time she goes in, they show her like 3 or 4 versions, like she's about to explode or die, but she has the power to overcome it and to walk through. And then she's on the inside and she has superpowers of sorts. And at first, at least me as a viewer kind of just goes, yeah, okay, that's fine. Because we're in this like fake created world. It's still fake, which is why the kids are fake. The relationship Wanda has with her vision, who is actually dead, also fake, yada yada yada, right? So I'm like, okay, so her superpowers are just as fake as the other one. However, at the end of the show, spoiler alert, the kids obviously don't make it because they're just a figment of her imagination, same as Vision. And Monica survives, and her superpowers, I wonder if they now stay or don't stay. But she's essentially on the next flight out to, I think it'll be Fury, right? Yeah, Nick Fury. I think he'll meet them because she gets pulled aside by a, are they called Skrulls? I think so.
Skrulls, yeah.
Skrulls. Okay, see, I keep thinking that means a piece of paper that you roll up and down, so I get confused.
Yeah. It's like Lance anyway. Scroll, but scroll.
Yeah. So a bunch of Lance Scrolls are living up in space, and they have the real Nick Fury. So I assume that's who Monica's going to go and talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So that opens up a whole new door, and who knows how that has to do with Captain Marvel. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
One of the things I find really interesting is Phase 4 so far, I thought we were going to go into Secret Invasion, so like a whole plot line surrounding the Skrull, infiltrating humanity and kind of trying to substitute it. But we're looking much and much more likely that we're going into like a major multiversal kind of threat, maybe, or like Celestial, maybe kind of going for a Galactus plotline. And I'm not sure if they're trying to set up multiple things to like really extend the Marvel universe for the next like decades, or if they're trying to have all of these be part of Phase 4 at once.
Well, the fact of the matter is this is the first phase. And I mean, yeah, okay, wait. If you look at the four phases on Disney Plus, you can scroll through them, right? And you see the scroll. No pun intended. The fourth phase is the first one that really includes TV shows. And you have these like small little things that they'll put between like the Thor movies and stuff earlier, but they don't really count, right? At least I don't count them because they were added retrospectively. But we have movies through the three phases. And now we have like TV shows, we have movies coming out, we have all these different things. So I think it'll be a bigger, be setting up a lot more. So I do think they're going to just basically fan out into everything.
Yeah.
I mean, remember, we still have a Venom thing in the works, right? There's somehow Venom is still going to be involved. That's been guaranteed. So, and there's definitely one more Spider-Man movie Tom Holland Spider-Man featuring movie. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Moving from one series to the next, I loved Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I loved that show. That was really, really good. I don't know what you thought of it.
I really enjoyed it as well.
Like the message behind it and everything, it was so cool. The storyline was really cool because WandaVision takes place right after basically people start coming back from the what do they call it, the blip, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So people start reappearing after Endgame. You know, they managed to recreate half of the population essentially, or delete it from history that ever happened. And that's kind of how WandaVision kicks off in the third or fourth episode, I guess. And it's similar to Falcon and the Winter Soldier, whereas there you really see how it affects people and how much bad is involved with that too. And how it, like, right now it's like one world, everybody's affected by the same thing. And now this new political group is putting up borders again because there's people that we thought dead were coming back. And that's kind of how the villain is created in this storyline. And the whole gist is, okay, you're some random politicians that don't represent the community or the people. And you're just making shots where we don't have the right people at the table making the right decisions. And very, very well summarized in Falcon's final speech to the police and to the politicians at the end of the series, which I thought was really nice. I do
cheesy
think
but nice.
Yeah, but honestly, also in terms of like the racial element of it all, it very much came through in that series, which I very much enjoyed. First, I was a little confused because I was like, this might be too much, and like from a story perspective, but it worked out really well because it was another way to underline how the villain was created in the first place and how you can easily avoid something like that. And also his new fucking suit looks awesome.
Yeah.
I like his new suit. I like the dorky goggles. They're sick. They're really good. And the way he was like with the shield and the falcon wings, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The suit and the shield go pretty well together. I do agree.
Absolutely. The scene where he's like going for the helicopter and he's like, check if any of the hostages have flight training. Then he like hacks her iPod and starts talking to her on the or her phone, starts talking to her and is like, okay, I'm gonna take out the pilot and go forward. And it works. Oh, it's a great scene. Great scene.
I was kind of before the show is concerned because we've never seen Falcon be like extremely agile with his suit, right? There's been a lot of like flies in, kicks someone, and then kind of flies out, but they made him really a lot more versatile than what I thought he was going to be, which I was really happy with. On the other hand, they made Bucky a lot less versatile than I thought he was going to be with his vibranium arm that really didn't do much, to be completely honest, but oh well.
No, I felt like it gave him an even bigger weakness because now you can take it off. Like, it seemed way easier to fall off now than it was beforehand, which was interesting to me. So
Come again?
they showed several times how Bucky's arm just like fell off in combat. And I thought that was just so not impressive. It was like, I thought Wakanda was like highest tech. And then he fights one of the Wakandan women, and first thing she does is like beep bop boop, and the arm just falls off. It's like, okay, well, good, good. And then there's the super soldier who just grabs it really hard and takes it off. It's like, yeah, all right, well, that's not very impressive. That was a cool scene, by the way, the corruption of power and how drunk power can make you, with like literal power, super soldier power. That was also a theme of that show, which I thought was very interesting. So I'm psyched to see what comes of Falcon's character throughout the next, whatever it is, movies, etc. I almost wish those shows would go on longer. And super soldiers seem to be one subplot of this phase four.
Super soldiers, Skrulls. Well, Skrulls, to be honest, not really. They haven't shown up much.
Just in the
But
one poster.
Celestials have come up much. Have come up a bit more like the whole multiverse con kind of situation.
Yeah.
But most of these shows are getting seasons two. Loki's getting a season two. Falcon the Winter Soldier's getting a
Oh, he
season two.
better.
I don't know if WandaVision will get a season two. I don't think so. I think that was confirmed to only be one season because she's going to go mostly into movies from now on.
Yeah, I'm happy about that though, because it was fine to explain one like that for her to process her own shit and basically evolve to the next character element that she now is, which is Scarlet Witch, and to like. She could have a now, she could now have her own full movie, like an origin story kind of thing, or exploring her witchcraft or whatever. That would be pretty interesting. I'd watch it. You could feature Doctor Strange in there, or maybe someone else. I don't know. They work well together. Loki, as he just mentioned, that series was cool because it took everything we've learned from the last three phases and basically made it seem super insignificant. Super small, super like, hey, so this happened, but it doesn't actually matter because this is what we're talking about. There's a guy that controls all of that in the time, the TM, I think they're called, whatever it is. I forgot their name.
Oh, TMV, something like that.
TMV.
No, is that it? I feel like ah.
Yeah. But basically they control time and it's a whole
Oh,
nother.
timekeepers, is that it? TVA, Time Variance Authority. That's it.
There we go. Well, yeah, they're all variants. That's kind of what happens at the end. And I really liked Owen Wilson in this show, with Loki. It was a really good show. So that was a fun one.
It took me for fucking ever to figure out that he was old, that was Owen Wilson. It took me
Really?
so long to figure that out. Yeah.
That's funny.
And honestly, because I watched it like be released weekly, it took me like 3 weeks to figure out, wait a minute, that's Owen Wilson. Oh,
Wow.
wow. Honestly,
Yeah, so
man.
Owen Wilson's in there. Yeah, but Loki was cool because it just put basically everything we had learned into a different perspective. That's super tiny and insignificant, and that it happens daily, essentially. And if there's someone who has so many variants of himself that they one of them always manages to destroy everything, which is why one variant basically locked time to make sure there was no variants, which would create chaos. I think that was somewhat of the summary at the end. And this guy basically seemed like a god when they tried to fight him. He just wasn't touchable. It was interesting. So I'm curious to see what comes there in season two. And what else was there? Hawkeye. But before Hawkeye, there was Black Widow. At least chronologically speaking, or from the streaming service. And Black Widow, I think, was pushed a little bit due to the release date, due to Corona and whatnot. The release date was pushed, but essentially, that movie serves the purpose. It explains a bit about Budapest, or Budapest, and which, in terms of, they reference it consistently. Her and Hawkeye do throughout the Avengers movies and stuff. And they never actually show it in this movie, which really frustrates me, but I see why they don't. She basically gives a detailed account of why and what was going on to her sister who she meets. And that's the big deal. So the introduction of Yelena. And Yelena is one of my favorite characters already in the MCU. I love her. She's awesome. The humor, the everything. Great. Also in that movie, we're introduced to another super soldier. The anti-Captain America. I forget what his name was. The red...
Yeah, I know who you mean. Red, I know who you mean.
The red soldier? No, it can't be that simple. Either way, basically, Natasha Romanoff and her sister, they grew up in Ohio, or at least for 3-4 years, and they were a fake family of her dad, who wasn't really her dad, and her mom, who wasn't really her mom, and those, none of them, they were just Red Guardian, there we go, that was the name. They all posed as a family to steal secret information from some U.S. base, which would help them in the further development of, I forget exactly what, but I think it was further development of the Black Widow program, which honestly was one of the most brutal, like, villain plots I've heard in a Marvel movie so far. Like, super heartless. Like, oh yeah, we purposely prey on girls that are thrown away and we analyze their genetic potential to become super spies. Then we like cut all feminine organs and parts out of them and just brainwash them by chemical subjugation. And I'd like you to check the science on the things, the way they just standardly mention these things is very interesting. That would allow brainwashing. And then it's all about freeing up the Black Widows, which are their assassins essentially, but against choice. That's what the movie's about. And then Yelena plays a huge role in Hawkeye in the series.
Yeah, I liked her in Hawkeye a lot more than in Black Widow. I sent you a text about it. I really preferred her in the role of this like sassy anti-hero kind of situation that she finds herself in by the end of Hawkeye.
But she's still that in Black Widow, though. Like, one of the first things she says to Natasha is like, hey, by the way, because like when they first see each other, of course they have a big fight. And it's like, by the way, why do you always do that like hair sweeping up thing to get the hair out of your eyes when you land? And she's like, yeah, it's fake, right? It's like, why are you doing it? It's like, I need it to concentrate. No, you're a poser. So the Avengers use sort of her first sentence, and it's great. It's exactly that. The I'm calling you on your bullshit kind of thing. But yeah, in Hawkeye, she kind of comes over and she's actually hired to kill Hawkeye, which we find out at the end of Black Widow in the post-credit scene, which I think is weird, and it doesn't really explain much, by this Valentina woman, who is also the person who hired or took fake Captain America under her wing. I don't really get her at all, to be honest. I don't know if you have more input there.
Nothing.
But like, that was super confusing to me.
The interesting thing about that situation is I thought, okay, maybe this is like one of the major human players who's like accumulating power, and then she'll be the, you know, the subject of a movie or something. But so far I feel like most of the plays she's made, she's lost again. Because Yelena isn't with her anymore, presumably. I don't think she's going to keep Walker for too long. And she's been mentioned once or twice outside of those two, but...
No, I could see her being a Skrull, potentially.
Maybe. That'd be interesting.
It would.
That'd be really interesting, actually, to lead into, like, Secret Wars kind of territory.
Maybe. But, again, I don't even know who he's connected to at this point. So it's a little bit random for appearances. But then we go to Hawkeye, and we see the repercussions essentially of Hawkeye being Ronin in that series, which is mm-hmm. interesting. So there's this other girl who starts shooting a bow and arrow really, really well, and it goes viral essentially. And then people think she's Ronin, so people are trying to kill her. So Hawkeye comes in and is basically trying to save her and get rid of the suit once and for all to, like, you know, make sure that myth is dead. And along the process, he then meets Yelena, who's trying to kill him, and it all results in the fact that they then take down Pinhead, which is the best way I can kind of summarize it. And Yelena's been good friends because Barton or Hawkeye, at no point does he deny having killed Natasha, which I think is interesting because he feels like he did because he didn't die for the act,
mm-hmm.
but no one else knows that. And until he actually tells Yelena that, then she kind of buys it and they're cool. So I think they'll be a great tag team in the future, to be honest.
I really hope so. I really hope we get some version of, like, you know, the Young Avengers or like the... there are so many Avengers teams now, especially yeah. because the original one really doesn't exist anymore. I really hope we get like some exploration there, like with multiple teams, and because the way the way it's expanding, you know, as you mentioned, it's going in all directions, and it could be really fun to just start bringing people from different shows and genres together and really start exploring like what the MCU can really be, rather than just like, okay, well, here's a certain formula, you know. And for example, I've been reading that Multiverse of Madness was originally conceptualized as a horror movie, and I really like that, you know. And yeah. I think with having like branching out and getting more complex characters and starting to put them together, I think we can really get, yeah, we can really start exploring what this is. Then on the other hand, though, this isn't a comic book, right? How much is a comic book to produce? Let's call it $100,000. These are movies; they need to make like a lot of money to be valid to make. So.
100%. But then again, like in these series, they're a lot lower budget. And the series, you can experiment around with a lot more. And we see, for example, in the Falcon Winter Soldier thing, just because Bucky spent some time in Wakanda, they ended up working with Zemo, which was actually kind of a huge deal that they just straight up broke him out of prison after he essentially destroyed the Avengers. I thought how low-key they just like played that off in a 10-minute stretch. Like, oh, yeah, now we're working with him and we're done. And I was like, okay, wow. But it worked out well. But all of a sudden you had the Wakandans playing quite a role in that series, which I thought was pretty cool, to be honest, and quite the cool crossover. So I hope we go back to Wakanda a lot more. And like Black Panther 2 is coming out soon. Depending on what happens there, a big rumor is that Nuri will, like, her... Chella's little sister will take over the mantle, essentially, of the Black Panther, which I would think is really, really cool. And it'd be amazing to see Killmonger again, somehow. I know that's a lot of wishes, but, you know, somehow. He is in the What If series as well.
Yeah. That'd be... I hadn't considered that. I think I do agree he was one of the best villains. It'd be fun to see that come back.
In the What If series episode, I didn't watch it, but I just read the thing. Basically, right when Tony Stark is attacked in Iron Man 1 in Afghanistan or wherever he is, selling weapons, Killmonger is the guy that saves him.
Yeah, I know. I watched What If.
You watched the whole series?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can't cover that one. Nope, for me, though. But yeah, then there's Shang-Chi missing, which I have not seen yet. And Eternals is still part of Phase 4.
Yeah.
Which I also have not seen.
I personally didn't watch Eternals, but I really, really enjoyed Shang-Chi. I really, really enjoyed it.
I feel like I would enjoy both of them, so I will watch both of them. But I wonder how much story there will be in Eternals, to be honest, because it'll just be more explaining of how certain circumstances happen rather than progressing the timeline forward of what's happening.
Yeah, you will have to see, huh?
Guess we'll find out.
I'm not
Anyway,
gonna.
so much
I
for.
know pretty much what happens in Eternal, so I'm not gonna tell you anything.
There's a lot of overpriced actors playing a role in that movie. It's such a huge cast. It's amazing. I mean, they have a couple people from Game of Thrones, and then they have Kumail Nanjiani. I think that's his name. He's a huge actor. I think he does a good job, from what I've seen so far. But yeah, to watch it and give you my review. Anywho, what else goes on with you,
Anywho,
Toby?
oh man, honestly, not that much. I'm pretty tired right now.
Well, let's do this real quick before we cancel off, I would say.
Do
How about
what?
we give our predictions for the race next weekend?
Sure. Where are we going? We're going Imola. Ferrari 1-2. Leclerc,
Ooh.
Sainz. Red Bull says they are bringing an update, but so is Ferrari. I'll say, just because I don't want to see Mercedes there, I'll say Leclerc, Sainz, Bottas.
Wow. And then Mercedes 4 and 5.
No, I think the Mercedes and the Red Bulls are going to have it out.
As in a crash and be out or have a good
Yeah,
battle?
something's going to go on there. I'm going to say Leclerc, Sainz, Bottas, full Ferrari trio, or like full Ferrari engine trio, Alfa Romeo on the podium, and then we're gonna see Verstappen, who has damage, and only manages fourth, and then we're gonna see the Haas of Magnussen. No, you know what? Yeah, the Haas of Magnussen, then the two Mercedes, then Perez, then Mick Schumacher.
Most importantly, we'll make get points.
Mick will get points, yeah. Yeah, and then we're going to see Alonso.
So Ocon will n not get points. He will he has the third longest streak right now of getting points.
Yeah, no, Ocon will not get points. And I think the Mercedes crash out. Russell has not finished an Imola Grand Prix in the last 2 years.
Yeah, you know what my prediction is going to be for Russell? The crash with Bottas.
Mind you,
Especially if you have Bottas up there that high.
it's a sprint qualifying weekend, so there's more chances.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, it could happen. Could happen. That means the Aston Martin mechanics will have to really be on the lookout. They
Oh
might have a
fuck, dude, I
lot of
don't want
repairing
I
to
wouldn't want to be an Aston Martin mechanic these days. Fucking hell.
don't know if you're
God,
tired.
they're doing so poorly. They're doing so poorly. Ah.
They are the only team that has not scored points so far.
Yeah.
Even Williams has scored infinitely more points than them.
Yeah, and dude, you want to know the fucking sad thing about it? Like, yeah,
What?
okay, they could have an excuse, like, oh yeah, Vettel had COVID and they didn't do so well in testing. But Stroll has been there for all of it, man, and they're still doing so shit. And
To be
I've said
fair, he's
it.
finished like 12th a few times, which isn't terrible for them.
I've said it for, I've always kind of said, yeah, okay, Stroll. He's never been, like, in my opinion, he's never been that bad of a driver, right? Like, clearly paid
This
driver, but
season,
never that bad. He's been fucking piss poor this season and second half of last season. Like, and yeah, okay, how much of that is the car? We probably, like, you and I will probably never know for certain. But
Fully
whew.
agree.
And Vettel is completely on the back foot. There's no morale, it feels like, in that team right now.
Put it this way, Stroll is lucky Latifi is still there to make him look better.
Yeah, but
Like,
I'd say Latifi's looking better than Stroll right now.
no.
No, in my
Latifi
opinion, he is.
is the first one who's out of a seat next season. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Okay, my prediction. I like yours. It's pretty exciting. Sounds like we're gonna have an exciting. I forgot about the sprint quality, to be honest. So that's gonna make it very exciting. So yeah, I can't deny Ferrari a win. But it seems like for you, even with potential updates, Red Bull is now declassified as a contender, or like actually contending with Ferrari.
Well,
seems like you're giving it up to Ferrari.
In Imola, they are not a contender for Ferrari, because Imola track is, the Red Bull is very like high speed strong, but kind of lacks in, let me remember what Scarborough said.
Doesn't matter.
It just feels like to me that like the Ferrari is going to be stronger in Imola, just because they have it more together in these like medium speed corners.
Well, and they figured out their car more, to be fair. Like, doesn't matter what track is coming, the Ferrari has their setups on point. They know what they're doing. And so I'm going to go with the 1 and 3 by Ferrari and P2 Verstappen. P4, I will go with Perez. I'm going to, fingers crossed, I think Red Bull will finish with both cars. Mm-hmm. And everything from there on is going to be crazy. So we're going to have to see, but I do think the Ferrari cars are going to do well. So I think both, this is also a big prediction, but both Alphas and both Haas drivers will make points.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So you have your top four, and then you have your next four, and Mercedes is going to make up the bottom end of the field.
I could see that.
Let's say P5 Magnussen, P6 Bottas, or switch him, I don't really mind. Then Zhou, and then Schumacher. And then we have, and maybe Schumacher drops to 10th, I don't know. But then you'll have a Mercedes of Hamilton and a Norris. Oh no, shoot. I said George Russell and Bottas are going to crash, right?
Okay, yeah.
I'd stick with that. So both McLarens will get in the points.
Mm. Who we're both forgetting is the AlphaTauris.
Yeah.
Well, I know they aren't great, but are they like going to make like lower end points or?
Not this one.
Not this one? Like, all right.
Well, to be fair, there's a lot more points up for grabs this weekend, right? Because the sprint qualifying has a new points format. So I think the winner gets 10. I'm not like they've really increased it to basically motivate them to race properly.
Yeah, but it's not the 3-2-1 points.
No. It's way more points, and it affects a lot more positions. So either way, a lot more drivers could be getting points this weekend without finishing in the top 10 on the race.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see. I think it's going to be exciting for sure. It's a good track. So.
Oh, yeah. Imola is a fun track. And with how close these cars are throughout the corners, I think we could see some real like
nice
action
accidents
going on. Yeah. Not well. I hope we don't see accidents. Honestly, last year, Bottas and Russell was scary.
Scarily stupid, though. I was watching it today, man. And I still don't understand how Russell could have been so in denial in that moment, or even a day or two afterwards. I didn't get it. What the fuck is he doing? He drove into me. No, man. Yeah. You literally look at the camera. You slid like this. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
So hopefully it doesn't happen like that again, but I'm predicting it will happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, and they have similarly paced cars as well again.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. Well, again, is a bit of a stretch, isn't it? Because last year it was a Williams versus the Mercedes. So mm-hmm. last year they were not paced the same.
It'd be a very different accident this year. They'd actually be racing for position, I feel like.
Yeah. But and they're not, you know, they're not like in any way linked anymore. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting one. All right. Well, to the viewers, you will hear from us after that race. And it's going to be an exciting weekend, I think. So enjoy that. We will give you our emotional commentary or reaction to it. Not our factual or objective or anything, just our emotional one, as that's what we've prided ourselves on doing now. And yeah, that's all from my side. Toby, any final thoughts?
No, I'm really tired.
Well, then I wish you luck at work later on.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. I think I'm going to take a nap now and then wake up in an hour and still finish the... I have to go do science stuff late at night.
That's what scientists do, science stuff.
I don't want to explain it.
Musicians do music stuff, and builders do build stuff.
Yeah, builders do build stuff.
Do build stuff. They do. They do build stuff. All right.
All right.
Wonderful. Good night. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful start to the week, and a happy Easter from the both of us. And you can expect to see our next episode out next weekend after the race.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Bye.